All right. Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of the Gym Fear 138 podcast. Thank you very much for joining me whatever it is for you, evening, morning, you know, middle of the day, whenever you happen to listen to this. Now, I'm very sorry for not having uploaded a podcast last week, but they recently changed my schedule at work, and they cut my lunch hour from an hour down to a half hour. So I've been kind of tired when I get home from work. My job is a bit labor-intensive. So now normally I'll just, you know, I'll come home and almost immediately just try to, quote-unquote, take a nap. But that nap winds up being about 4 hours long. And then I kind of, you know, just wake up and dick around. Holy shit. My volume is really high. I have no idea why my mic volume is that high. Let me turn that down. Okay. That's a little bit better. Sorry about that, guys. I did not see that. I was sitting here wondering why I'm fucking clipping out. Yeah, I'm not going to go back and re-record this. We're already in too deep, fam. But yeah, I'll wake up and I'll dick around from like 9 o'clock to like 12 or 1 and then go back to sleep. But first off, I would like to thank Daddy Warpig, Brian Niemeyer, and Dornall for having me on the Geek Gab podcast. I'll leave a link to that episode down in the show notes. I haven't done a podcast since I appeared on there, so I might as well go ahead and mention it first. I really appreciate coming on the show. It was a lot of fun. Despite my nervousness and complete bafflement as to why you guys would want to have me on the show, still kind of confused. Still kind of confused about why you guys would want to talk to me. But I do appreciate coming on the show. It was very, very kind of you to have me on. So everybody who's listening to this, after you get done here, there, if you want to hear more of my, you know, pointless bloviating about random bullshit. And that's not a referendum on the guys over at Geek Gab. That's me personally. I bloviate about pointless bullshit all the time. If you want to hear more of that in a more structured setting, then you can go and check out the Geek Gab podcast with me in the house. It was a hell of a lot of fun, and hopefully we'll be able to do it again sometime. I would love to come back on the show. You guys were awesome, really fun to talk to. I had a fucking ball, you know, got really drunk, and then went and hung out with my dad for the rest of the night. It was awesome. Best Saturday ever. But yeah, so I actually had a kind of point to this podcast, kind of. I'm just kind of winging it. But my Twitter buddy, Jesse Abraham Lucas, who's at Jesse Lucas Saga on Twitter, requested at some point, I'm scrolling through my mentions here, seeing if I can find it, but he requested at some point that I talk a little bit about voice acting and how to kind of approach it. And I'm just going to, like, fair warning you guys, I've had a few beers already. I just typed up a post about hard science fiction and kind of my take on the whole controversy that Daddy Warpig has been stirring up by, you know, loading up his howitzer and just, like, indiscriminately launching bombs at everybody in range. just sticking around. Yeah, you know I love you, DW. But So I had a couple of beers while I was writing that and editing it and everything. And I'm a little bit loopy. But if I remember properly, he was asking about... See, no, that's the healthcare thing. He was asking about not the technical aspects, like microphones and stuff like that. I'm having to go back scrolling for days here. And sorry if you can hear my cat in the background. She's feeling particularly active tonight for some reason. Jesus Christ, there's a lot of shit in my fucking notification feed. Still looking. Okay, it's going to take me forever to find this. I've been scrolling through for minutes at this point. So we're just going to go with what I remember of the conversation rather than, you know, and I'm sorry that you didn't get to me before I recorded this. My schedule is kind of erratic. I'm kind of, you know, a addle-brained, drunken hermit. So if you get back to me after this, then I'll just write down the notes and I'll address things that I didn't address in this podcast, in the next podcast. Fair enough. Okay. So, if I remember correctly, the question was with regard to voice acting, not necessarily the type of equipment that you can use, because that's, you know, that information is easily findable on the internet. Though to diverge for just a minute, I personally can't sing the praises of the Samson CO1 microphone enough. It's, XLR, I believe, is the cable to USB. So it plugs directly into your computer. Well, it plugs into a phantom power source, and then it plugs into your computer. But it's really good shit. Highly recommended. Under $100, I think it's like $70, something like that. And that's the microphone that I use, and you can hear the level of quality that I get out of it. But with regard to voice acting, there are a couple of different ways that you can approach voice acting. Like, okay, I have my normal speaking voice, right? The voice that I'm speaking to you all in right now. This is how I normally talk. This is how I talk to my friends. This is how I talk to my family. This is just how I speak. I've heard stories about, you know, voice actors who don't remember how they really talk because they've done so many voices. I don't understand how you get that. I really don't get it. Maybe they just don't do enough talking in their normal everyday life. I don't know. But because my normal speaking voice isn't exactly the most pleasant thing to listen to, and I don't know how y'all put up listening to it in the podcast, I have a quote-unquote narrator voice that I put on. And this is kind of, like, voice acting in general is kind of difficult unless you've had either experience or training. So not, it's kind of a specialized skill. Anybody can do it. I firmly maintain that anybody can do it, unless you have some like seriously debilitating lisp or something. Like, I don't think Mike Cernovich could do voice acting particularly well. He could put on his voice. He could speak normally and voice act probably very well, but that lisp kind of precludes him from, you know, I don't know, putting on a Scottish brogue or something like that. Now me, I've been putting on voices since I was a kid. Like, I was a little kid. I remember when Shrek came out and we had it on VHS. Yes, I'm an old man. Fuck you. I mean, what did you expect? I listened to Steely Dan for fun. but when Shrek first came out, I loved the absolute hell out of that movie. That was one of my favorite movies when it first came out. And I would try to voice act with the different characters. Like, I would put on Shrek and then Donkey. I would try to sound like these different characters. And I've been doing that my entire life. So it's kind of like I just fell into this because I thought it was fun to do when I was a kid. You know, it's not like I have any particular level of, you know, professional skill or cultivated talent or professional talent or cultivated skill, I guess you would say. I guess you could call it a cultivated skill. I wouldn't go that far. I wouldn't be that generous with it, but I've been doing this for kind of a long time. Not professionally or anything, just for fun. So when I decided to take it to a professional level, I was a little bit more prepared than your average Joe just walking in off the street. So, you know, I'm able to, and please forgive me because I'm really, really bad with outlibbing, with ad-libbing. Sorry. Just been drinking. So I'm really, really bad with ad-libbing, so forgive me, but, you know, I was talking about putting on a narrator voice, because my speaking voice isn't exactly the most pleasant to listen to. So when I want to narrate prose, I'll do this. You know, this voice is a lot more pleasant to listen to. It differentiates itself from the character voices very well. It's deeper than I usually speak. It's, you know, a little bit more even of tone but I don't necessarily keep that evenness of tone whenever I'm reading like an action sequence or something like that. I'll get excited or put in pauses or things like that. You just, that's kind of up to your own discretion how you read the writing, and then you'll get feedback, hopefully, from your author or the company that you're producing this audiobook for. And then you may have to go back and re-record specific parts to get it to conform to the way that they want it to sound, because after all, this is you performing a job. You're trying to give a service to them. You're not making this your own personal little art project. You're trying to deliver the lines as they are supposed to be delivered, as they sound in the author's head specifically, which would be my personal preference, because the author is the one who knows how all of this is supposed to sound. So I have my narrator voice, and that's what I use to read all of the prose in a story. If you listen to my audiobook of Enjoy the Decline by Aaron Clary, or Reconnaissance Man by Aaron Clary, I try to maintain this voice as much as possible, but maintaining this voice for long periods of time with no breaks is kind of difficult, and it's not like, you know, it's hard to do physically. It's just your mind slips and you start speaking how you would normally speak. So I'll go in between my narrator voice and something like this, you know, in between my regular speaking voice and my narrator voice, so that I can read the lines a little bit more easily, you know, and not have to concentrate so hard on keeping my voice at that one tone. So it's still a little bit more pleasant to listen to than my normal speaking voice, but it's not as deep and serious as my narrator voice, if you get what I'm saying here. So, there's also other things that you can do. For example, you can put on different accents, you know what I mean? You can do southern accents, you can do, you know, an old man southern accent, you know, put some gravel in your throat kind of shit. If the characters are from a more, I guess, cosmopolitan milieu, I suppose is the word, then you might have to learn how to speak other accents, some European accents, and I'm probably going to offend all of the Europeans in my audience right here. I know my buddy Richard is listening. He's from Britain, and I'm probably going to piss him off with this. But, you know, you can put on a little bit of kind of posh accent, and this isn't something that will come naturally to you. You'll have to learn how to do all of this stuff. For example, I was thinking about auditioning for a book, and I went in, and the author said that it would need to be a South London accent. Now, a South London accent is not exactly in my wheelhouse. But if you go on YouTube, you can find people who will teach you how to speak properly in different accents. I'm probably doing a fucking horrible job because I'm half drunk. Or, you know, Irish characters. Now, this is going to be a little bit easier because I've got, you know, a little bit of beer in me. So, Irish characters are a little bit easier to, I don't know, being drunk helps. And once again, I'm probably still doing a horrible job. But, you know, that's something else that you can do. You know, and I'm not necessarily trying to show off, but it's just, like, the mechanics are very difficult to describe, especially when you don't have formal training. Really, I've just kind of got this collection of voices that I've picked up over the course of my life, that because I did this for fun for so long, that I'm just kind of able to slip into it whenever the fuck I feel like it. You know, with greater or lesser success, depending on how much alcohol is in my system. So, you know, like I say, you've got your American accents, like the Southern accent, you know, you want to put a little bit of drawl into it, you know, stretch your syllables out a little bit. You know, and there is a specific way that Southerners talk that you got to bear in mind when you're trying to do these voices. It's a little bit easier to concentrate when you got, you know, the lines in front of you and everything like that. So it's not as difficult to fall out of the voice unless you're doing some kind of extended play shit where this character goes on for pages and pages and pages and pages. And sometimes you're going to slip out your voice. It just happens. Happens to the best of us. Unless you're one of them motherfuckers that don't do voices. And I have some contempt for them people. But, you know, and then you got your New York accent, you know. It's not like you're trying to sound thug or tough or nothing like that, you know. It's just there's a particular way that New Yorkers talk. And if you want to bring that across, then you got to study. You got to go in and listen to some native speakers and try to take your time and learn how to talk. Or, you know, the Midwest. You know, those people have a very funny way of talking, eh? I mean, it's almost Canadian, but it's still so white. They're some of the most white people in America, and I honestly don't know how they get by going out in the sun like that. Anyway, I'll spare you the rest of my little retinue of voices that I'm able to put on, but the best thing that I can say for doing voice acting is if you want to do a specific accent, which is, you know, it's like anybody can put on the tough Marine voice. You know what I mean? Anybody can sound like they're a fucking grunt who just got out of Vietnam and has seen some shit. You know, it's not that hard. You just lower your voice and throw some gravel into it. But if you want to do certain accents, if you want to give characters distinct, unique voices, the best thing that you can do is go on YouTube. And this has been invaluable to me. Go on YouTube and type in something like, well, let's take the South London thing. South London accent voice acting or something like that. And you will come upon videos of people demonstrating how to speak in that language. Not that language. What the fuck is wrong with me? That accent. And one tip that I learned from one of the voice actors on YouTube who makes that their business, that's what they fucking do, is teach people how to speak in different accents. Is have a key phrase, like a switch phrase, that once you say this phrase, you'll be able to speak in that accent. So if you're going to talk in the Irish accent, you know, you could have your phrase be, "Oi, mate, let's go down to the pub and get a pint of Guinness." You know, and then you just say, "Oi, mate, let's go down to the pub and get a pint of Guinness. Oi, mate, let's go down to the pub and get a pint of Guinness." And then you can competently talk. You sort of prime yourself for speaking in that accent whenever you do something like that. Now, all of the Irish people out there who are listening to this are probably very angry at me because I'm American and I don't sound like an Irish person. I don't sound like a native speaker. But through listening to people who actually speak Irish, speak that accent natively, who grew up speaking that tongue, for the purposes of an audiobook, or for the purposes of voice acting, preferably in comedy, you know, it's not best if you approach this kind of thing with a serious role, unless you really know what you're doing. But for comedy, it works, because it can sound campy and cheesy, and no one will call you on it, unless they're, you know, one of the native speakers of that accent who's really pissed off at you. But for that, you can get by for the audiobook that you're working on, and people will get the idea. Even if you don't sound like a perfect native speaker, people will get the idea. They'll get what you're going for as long as you can roughly approximate it, and that kind of stuff does take training. Like I said, I've been doing this since I was a little kid, just like putting on voices and shit, so my vocal cords are a little bit more flexible. My voice is a little bit more flexible than other people's, because I've been doing this for so long. If you're just coming to this and you have no idea what the fuck you're doing, the best advice that I can give you is go train. Go train. If you can, find some native speakers that you're comfortable getting into this kind of thing with, and just talk to them and try to put on their accent. Try to mimic their words. Like, I do this subconsciously. Whenever I watch movies and shit like that, I wind up talking like the characters if I really, really like the movie. Like, I would watch Monty Python and the Holy Grail, and by the time I came out of the movie, I was talking like one of the characters in the movie. You know, to the point where my brother would get very angry at me and say, "Talk normal, you fucking faggot." So, it just all comes down to the amount of work that you're willing to put in. Because, like I say, anybody could do this. It's not, you know, like, just like anybody, well, almost anybody, unless you got, like, palsy or something. Anybody could go weld. Anybody could be an electrical engineer. Anybody could be a doctor. They just have to be willing to put in the time and practice and learn what they're supposed to be doing. You know, and some people, like, this is something that annoys me, so I'm just going to go ahead and get it out here. I probably talked about it in previous podcasts, but if you take someone like Stefan Rudnicki, who's, I have a personal grudge against this motherfucker. He's one of the main narrators for Skyboat Media. And he's got tons of audiobooks out there and shit like that. But if you listen to those audiobooks, Stefan Rudnicki kind of talks like this. And this is the only voice that he uses. The only one. So good luck trying to differentiate between prose and dialogue or two different characters having a conversation. It's very boring. It's very boring. And that's the only voice he puts on. He just reads the whole fucking book straight. And God, if he doesn't keep in the fucking mouth noises and the breaths and all that other crap. So if you've got a voice like Stefan Rudnicki, or even to an extent someone like Scott Brick, or even John Mollison, you can get away with just doing the lines straight in your regular speaking voice and not putting on, you know, voices. I don't have that kind of voice. I can't just read an audiobook like I'm talking to you on the podcast right now, and people will want to listen to it. That's not how that fucking works. I don't know what I sound like. I sound like, I don't know, a caffeinated weasel who's had a bit too much to drink. You know, maybe not that bad, but you get the idea. If you've got that perfect voice, then people will listen to you no matter what you're reading or how you read it. People will still pay you. If you've got a voice like mine, then you've got to do a little bit of work to be able to make it pleasant for people to listen to. And that's very important with audiobooks, because this person is going to be sitting there listening to you for like 4 to 54 hours, you know, depending on the size of the audiobook. So it's very important that you put on the pleasantest voice that you're able to put on, to make the listening experience as enjoyable as possible for the end user. That's kind of my advice with audiobooks and shit. I'm sorry you all had to put up with my shitty half-drunk, you know, voice acting there. I swear to God, I do a much better job when I'm actually narrating an audiobook. I'm just doing this right now because dude asked about it, and I told him that I would get back to him and put it in the podcast. So, now that that's out of the way. Because honestly, I didn't prepare that at fucking all. This is just stream of consciousness kind of shit. I think going forward with the blog, I think I'm going to write a lot more and record a lot less. Because the approach that I've been taking with this blog so far, because I had it linked to my iTunes account, is that I would write something out, and then I would record it, and I would upload the recording somewhere, and then put an audio player in the post, and then I would, you know, do the tags and the links in the sidebar of the post. I would make those so that it would upload the audio enclosure links. That was it. I would put the enclosure links so that it would upload the audio to iTunes. Well, recently, my iTunes account has gone fucky, and I don't know why, and I don't know how to fix it. I've tried getting a buddy of mine to help me out with it, but we have been unsuccessful so far. So I think what I'm going to do is just forego all of the, you know, recording this shit. And it also doesn't help that my eye has been fucked up. For those of you who don't know, this is why I haven't been working on audio stuff for the past, like, month and a fucking half. And it's been the most frustrating goddamn thing. Okay. So. I've had a sinus infection since like November of last year. Now, take your Uncle Jimbo's advice. Don't ever let a sinus infection ride that long. I let it ride that long because I get, you know, kind of generally sick every winter. It happens every single fucking winter. It's a regular fucking occurrence. I just kind of deal with it and go on about my day. But I started to notice that my vision was going a little bit wonky, you know, to the point where it was bothering me while I was reading. I was getting headaches and shit like that. So I went into my optometrist and I talked to him about it. And I thought it was just my prescription was going funny. You know, I've changed prescriptions a lot during my life. I wear glasses and contacts and shit like that. I thought my prescription was going a little bit bad. I just need to get that fixed. It'll be fine. So he takes a look in my eyes, and he's looking a little bit too long for my liking. So he asks me, "Do you live around chickens?" I'm like, "No, I've been around chickens before in my life, but I've never, like, dived face first into chicken shit or anything like that. What's the deal?" And apparently, like, 98% of the population of America has this fungus, bacteria, virus, whatever the fuck it is, living inside of them. And it only is waiting on your lapsing of your immune system to take effect. And this happened in both of my eyes at once. But basically, I was going slowly blind. Slowly and painfully blind. I was getting headaches, like migraine headaches that just would not go away even if I took aspirin and shit. And it's been making it very hard to read. Like, that's the reason that I haven't been able to record anything, because I've been reading stuff online or on my phone or whatever, and I'll notice that I'll lose my place every single line. It's like a superimposition. Like, there's the real image that's coming out of my left eye, or going into my left eye, I guess, and then the right eye is fucked up. Because the way that this worked out is I have the same condition in both eyes, but in the right eye, it's dead center in the middle of my eyeball. So it's fucking with my direct vision. So I can close my left eye, and it's off sides a little bit. I can still see it, but my direct line of vision I can still read. But if I have both of my eyes open, there's this superimposition, and it looks like I'm seeing double, and it gives me headaches. And that's the reason why I haven't been able to work on anything, which pisses me off, because I have a book that I've been commissioned that I need to work on, and I'm only now getting to the point where I'm able to work on it. Hopefully, you know, I got another appointment on April the 4th, I think, to make sure that everything's going along a pace. But I sat down, I got injected in my eyeball, and it's been healing, so that's coming along fucking nicely. But that has left me unable to record, because if you know anything about the recording process, you'll know what I'm talking about. If you're losing your place literally every line, it's going to be impossible to read anything, or read anything out loud, at least. You know, I wouldn't be able... Many sentences go on for more than one line. And if I'm losing my place, I'll be reading the same thing over and over again and then not realize it, and I'll have to memorize each line and then say it from memory. You know, looking at the text as a hell, it would take me fucking light years. It would take me fucking decades to record anything like this. So I've been kind of laying off of the audiobook stuff and recording stuff. But, you know, it is healing. I'm almost better, actually. So hopefully within the next week or two, I'll be able to get back to work. It's really pissed me off that I'm not able to actually come home and fucking work. Which is why I've been shitposting on social media so much, because that doesn't give me headaches so, like, trying to straight read something does. But what the fuck was I talking about? Oh, yeah. I don't remember. No, I've been writing a little bit more at the blog. I released two posts this week. One is about, as I said, I just wrote that and published it tonight, is about hard SF and what I kind of think of that whole concept and whatnot, and what Daddy Warpig and Jeffro have been doing for the past, like, I don't know, month. And the other is about adding monster girls to fantasy stories in lieu of traditional fantasy races like orcs and elves and gnomes and dwarves and whatnot. And no, not those fantasy stories, you sick fucks. But I think what I'm gonna do to just make everything easier for everybody, including myself, is I'm just going to start writing. I'm just going to start writing for the blog, and I'll publish the regular blog post, and then after my eye heals up, I'll go and record everything, and then I'll put it up on YouTube and whatnot, and, you know, add it into the post, so if people want a download link for the MP3 file, they can fucking have it. Or if they just want to listen to it, whatever. But to be quite frank, that's why I haven't been releasing as much material as I could be on the blog, because recording and editing is kind of tiresome. Now, I really enjoy doing it, but that's a whole, like, five extra steps in putting out this piece here. And I'm noticing that, you know, not a lot of other people are doing it. And, you know, I thought that would kind of give me a little bit of a niche. Oh, this guy does his stuff in audio too. But really, all it's done is slow me down. So I'm just going to drop it. I'm just going to continue on writing whatever takes my fancy at the time and publishing that. And then I'll do a recorded version later for YouTube and, you know, archive.org and stuff like that. So that's where we're going to be going forward. It's just, it's a lot more liberating to be able to just write something up and publish it. You know, I could, I don't even know how many posts I could get done within a week. I'm also starting writing fiction again. You know, we've got some stuff that's going to be coming out for Dimension Bucket in the future here. As soon as my eye heals up enough for us to actually publish anything, for me to record and send it off and get it edited and everything. But I've also got some personal stories that I'm planning on publishing, not necessarily under the moniker of Dimension Bucket, just as my own thing. Because I can get a short story done, or novelette, novella, I guess. I don't know what the correct terminology there is. I can get that done in under a month. You know, if I didn't have to go to my day job, I could probably get more than that done. But anyway, whatever. Day jobs suck. We all fucking know that. I'm gonna start publishing those. My only real issue is being able to afford artwork for it, because that's kind of prohibitively expensive at this point. It's the same problem that Brian Niemeyer is having with his audiobooks. It's just expensive, dog. But if you want quality, you gotta pay for it. So, I mean, I'll just have to fucking bite the bullet. And I guess the first $100 of that story is going to recoup the costs of the artwork. But I am planning on releasing a lot more stuff in the future. I've got a series that's going to be coming out in Darkest Dreams, which is a collaboration with the other three members of Dimension Bucket. It's going to be a pretty big collection. It's like three stories from each of us. I don't remember what all is going into it, but I've got this Monster Hunter kind of series that I'm working on, and, you know, it's fantasy. It's not like, you know, Monster Hunter International or anything like that. It's kind of my love letter to The Witcher, but it's going in its own direction. Like, the guy's not Geralt at all. I don't know, there might be similarities there, but he's not meant to be, you know, like a cut and paste of Geralt, like Geralt is kind of a cut and paste of Elric. But yeah, hopefully that stuff will be coming out in the future as I get it written and edited. Let's see, what the fuck else can I talk about? Well, I guess maybe I can explain the Monster Girl thing a little bit better. You know, I got a little bit of feedback from a buddy of mine about that, and he said that maybe I didn't, you know, kind of put across the merits of chimerical races and stuff like that. Basically, what I was going for with that, and I mean, I made it a big joke that it's kind of this, you know, this weird niche fetish thing, and, you know, aren't you really fucking creepy for trying to bring this into fantasy? Which, yes, I am. But I think that there are actual merits to the concept. Like, think about it for a minute. Would you rather read another fantasy story about elves and dwarves and gnomes and hobbits and all these other fantasy races? Or would you rather read a story with snake people as one of the main races? Or lizard men? Or spider people? Or salamander people? Or whatever. You know, I think we all have just about the same answer there. The other stories sound much more interesting because there's a lot more that you can do with those races. Like, my problem with modern fantasy is that it is stagnant. And I mentioned this in the post, but I kind of want to dig into it a little bit more. Ever since Tolkien blew up in popularity, and I'm not dissing Tolkien, okay? I'm not dissing Tolkien. I love Tolkien's work. Lord of the Rings is one of my favorite series. I recently listened to the audiobooks again. I still have to listen to The Return of the King. But, you know, it's amazing stuff. Tolkien is in fucking incredible. I have nothing bad to say about Tolkien anymore, especially after going and rereading the books. But after Tolkien blew up, he inspired millions of copycats. Millions! They're everywhere! Nearly every single fucking fantasy book that you go into the fucking bookstore and pick up nowadays will crib or directly steal from Tolkien in some way. It's so fucking frustrating to go in and read this shit. I mean, oh, yeah, there's elves and... oh, goddamn if that isn't Elrond. You know? Oh, look, it's hobbits. And they act exactly the same way as they do in The Lord of the Rings. Isn't that nice? Yeah. Oh, shit, it's orcs. Man, they're exactly the same way. The one franchise that I can't really fault them for their orcs is The Elder Scrolls. But the orcs in The Elder Scrolls are basically human. They might as well be human. You take away the green skin and the tusks and everything like that, they're basically human. There's nothing original there. And you could argue that, oh, bringing in these chimerical races isn't going to add any race. They're basically human if you just take away this, this, and this. Yeah, you're accurate there. But once again, like the orcs in Elder Scrolls, they're not human. And they're completely different from all of the other fantasies. Like, the depiction of orcs in the Elder Scrolls is completely, 100% different than the depiction of orcs in The Lord of the Rings. It takes that fantasy race and it does something completely fucking different with it, right? Am I right or am I right? You know, feel free to call me out on my bullshit in the comments or the, you know, comments on my blog or whatever. But I think that they did something completely fucking different. Now, because of the nature of the Elder Scrolls series and the fact that it's a video game and not a fantasy novel, you basically can make them human and you would lose nothing appreciable. But with the chimerical races like Lamias and Salamanders and Hellhounds, whatever, with all of that, you have these prepackaged races, but they're not necessarily prepackaged. All you have is a prepackaged template. You know, okay, they're snake people. You know, they have the lower body of a snake and the upper body of a human. They're snake centaurs, I guess. What's their culture like? Well, if you go and read the Monster Girl Wiki, you're not really going to get a big sense of their culture. You know, like, far be it for me to shit on the Monster Girl Wiki, but the vast majority of the stuff discussed in those entries is about their mating practices. It's about how they like to fuck. And, you know, I'm sorry, but sex does not a culture make. However, if you're not into writing creepy fetish fiction, then you could take that basic template of, okay, these people have the upper bodies of humans and the lower bodies of snakes, and jump off from that point. Completely ignore everything in the wiki. Everything. Every single thing except the basic template of that race. Their phenotype, I guess. And do whatever you wanted with it. You could make the Lamias the elves. You know, you could take the racial and cultural aspects of the elves and imprint them onto the Lamias. And, you know, at least you're not putting elves in your story. Now, I wouldn't recommend that because that would be fucking tired and obvious, but you could do whatever you want with them. Like, you could make a Middle Eastern, you know, you could make a Mongolian, you could make whatever the fuck you want. Do whatever the hell you want with this template. Now, there are certain things where it's a little bit more difficult to imprint your own kind of, I guess, cultural attitudes onto this race, the cultural attitudes that you would like this race to have. Like with the Salamanders are kind of warlike. They're assholes. They like to fight. you know, but you could do other stuff. You know, you could make them effectively Japanese. You know, they're very warlike, but they also have a strong sense of honor and family and duty and nobility and all of this other jazz. I don't know. I'm probably making a really fucking bad case for this. Some of you are probably nodding your heads and going, yeah, Jim, you're fucking up. You should probably shut up now. But I'm not gonna. Because this is my podcast and I'll talk about whatever the fuck I want. So, you know, you could take these basic templates and bring them into your story, completely remove all of the traditional fantasy races, and you would be at least, at the very least, 50% more original than like 98% of the writers in the fantasy field right now. Just by virtue of, you know, turning this weird fetish into an actual thing. And, you know, like I said in that post, it doesn't have to be monster girls. You know, they don't have to be one. Like, one of the things in the wiki and in, like, the, I hesitate to call it commonly accepted lore around Lamias, is that they're all female and they rely on human men to reproduce. You don't have to do that. You can make them a fully functioning society with men and women and all that little bullshit that goes into a fully functioning society. I don't know, I'm just sick of reading about knife ears and fat midgets. Like, it seems like every single fucking, like, even franchises that I love, you know, like, Forgotten Realms, big fan of the Forgotten Realms, big fan of Dragonlance. They all do the same basic thing with the elves and the dwarves that Tolkien did. It's like, Tolkien set down this archetype of what these races are supposed to be, and everybody just kind of fucking ran with it. For decades, and it's tired at this point. It really fucking is tired. Like, I say this with full self-knowledge. Like, I'm writing a story right now that I'm planning on submitting to Story Hack, if I can get it done in the next 13 days, features elves. Now, granted, my characters are killing these elves, but it still features elves. And I'm trying to do a little bit more of a Dunsanian thing with them. Lord Dunsany, I'm trying to take it back to that elves are weird and mysterious and they're outside of time and, you know, really put the mystery back into elves right there. But I'm not nearly pretentious enough to go, my elves are different. No, it's basically the same shit as Tolkien, just one step back in the lore, right? So I say this with full self-knowledge that I need to be better about this myself. But I'm just sick of these being the go-to races. Like, oh, you're going to write a fantasy story. Well, you need to have your elves and your dwarves, and if you want, hobbits and your gnomes and all of that stuff. Why? Why do we need these to be the fantasy races that we go to? Why are these the default? Because Tolkien? Okay, yeah, Tolkien was great, and yes, he was precedent-setting. But that is no fucking reason that we can't go out and do completely fucking other things. Like, this whole thing with the Pulp Revolution. The driving force behind the Pulp Revolution, in my mind, is the unleashing of the human imagination. That's what I've come to understand it as. Because pulp doesn't care about your fucking scientific realism. It doesn't care about whether you're shit fits into any distinct genre category. It doesn't fucking care. All it cares about is whether or not the story is good and whether or not it's fiction, speculative fiction. And to me, that presages this unleashing of the human imagination to where writers can do whatever the fuck they want, literally whatever they want. So I took this. Yeah, it's a weird, creepy fetish, okay? I got it from watching Monster Musume no Iru Nichijo, okay? Everyday Life with Monster Girls, all right? I watched that anime, and I really liked the concept, and, you know, the characters were interesting and all of that shit. I really dug it, and I kind of using this unleashing of the human imagination to springboard to this place where we can do whatever we want with fiction. So if you want to write a fantasy story or a science fantasy story or even a science fiction story where you're not trying to ape like Warhammer 40K or Tolkien and have like your space orcs and your space elves and your space dwarves, although those guys kind of got wiped out, You know, whatever. All of that stuff. If you're not trying to ape that, then there has to be something else that you can go to besides just literally coming up with your own shit. Because everything under the sun has been done before, you know. So I took this idea from Japan and introduced it as something that we can do to revitalize the fantasy genre, something that we can use to breathe fresh air into this genre that we all know and love. You know, that way we aren't all just ripping off of Tolkien. And given that the template is so incredibly vague, especially if you're looking at, like, the Monster Girl Wiki or the Monster Girl Encyclopedia Wiki, especially if you're looking at that, it's so incredibly fucking vague that you can do literally whatever the fuck you want with it. So why aren't we jumping all over this? In the metaphorical sense, sick fucks. In the metaphorical sense, I really have no room to talk. I'm one of those sick fucks myself. But why aren't we bringing this into fantasy? Like, is it because it's this creepy, weird internet niche fetish thing? Because it doesn't just have to be. You know, all it's going to take is for one person to write a successful fantasy story with, you know, lamias or centaurs or whatever. You know, these chimerical races that are delineated on the wiki. And some of that shit gets kind of weird. Like, there are Shoggoth girls and shit over there. Just, like, be forewarned. You're treading into very strange territory if you go over there. But is it better to take this niche fetish thing that a couple of sick weirdos on the internet are into? Although more than I thought, apparently, given the Twitter response that I got about, like, shitposting about this. And the numbers on my blog post. But, is it better to take this niche fetish thing and turn it into an accepted part of fantasy canon? Or is it better to just keep writing stories about dwarves and elves and gnomes and hobbits? And just keep boring everybody to fucking death with them? And maybe I'm framing this a bit unkindly, but I think that the former option is the better option. I think that we should, as fantasy writers, take whatever kind of inspiration we can and put it into our stories however we want. Because fantasy shouldn't be limited by any fucking thing, let alone genre restrictions. Like, who the fuck came along and decided that, you know, you have to include elves and dwarves and gnomes and hobbits in your fucking fantasy story, or else it's not fantasy? You know, there's an entire wealth of mythology that we can draw upon, and most of this stuff does come out of mythology of one kind or another. So why don't we go back to those roots? Why don't we go back before Tolkien became a thing? Or why don't we go over into this little weird fucking community that's doing its own thing and, you know, having a lot of fun with it, and take their concepts and completely remake fantasy with it? Why not? I have yet to think of a good reason, and I've been thinking about this for a long time now. At the very least, 2 weeks. I've been devoting a significant portion of my thinking time to this. Like, what's to stop us? Okay, yeah, you're going to be looked at as really weird for a little while. I'm perfectly fine with looking really fucking weird, as you can tell. You know, I put out this podcast every fucking week where I get drunk and yell about stupid shit that doesn't matter. I'm more than willing to be the fall guy or whatever it is, just so long as somebody out there is inspired by this and does something different with fantasy, for God's fucking sake. You know, that's what I want. I don't want more Greyhawk books. I don't want more Lord of the Rings. I don't want more Dragonlance. I don't want more Forgotten Realms. I want new shit. And yeah, maybe if you take, like, the cultural template of the elves and the attitude template of the elves and put it onto lamias or whatever, you're not really doing anything new with it. You know, you're just giving them snake bodies. You're just making elves with snake bodies. Even that is a step in the right direction. It's a short step in the right direction. And then this will be more generally accepted, and people will be able to eventually use this to make their fantasy settings more original and take it different places. Because we have to get away from this staid, tired-ass fantasy race same face that we've been locked into for the past God only knows how fucking long, since the 60s. Like, it's really, really hard to come up with an author who's done something original with fantasy that didn't crib from Tolkien. You know, like, Robin Hobb comes to mind, but there's, like, almost no fantasy races. And, like, there's dragons and, you know, the Eldritch, I think, are the name of the elder race in Robin Hobb's stuff. But like, that's, like, the only example. Like, I guess you could consider the Gunslinger, the Dark Tower series fantasy, and that did something original. There's not really any elves or dwarves and shit in that. You know, but that's, like, two examples, and I'm too drunk to think of any more. You know, the vast majority of fantasy has these same tropes, they all hit the same notes, and it's fucking boring at this point. So let's just inject some creativity into it. That's what I'm trying to do with the whole Monster Girls thing. And once again, I'm just using Monster Girls as a springboard. I'm not necessarily saying that you have to follow all of the rules in the wiki or, you know, follow the cultural practices or, you know, this is how these Monster Girls get men and whatever. Do whatever you want. Just use the basic racial template and then do something original with it. You know, let your imagination run wild. Why the fuck not? What do you have to lose apart from your dignity and your reputation? But no, seriously. I think that's about the podcast. Everybody, thank you very much for listening, putting up with my bullshit. Let's run down the sponsors right quick. If you like what I do here and you would like to support me, you can go to Audible and you can buy, well, there's a store page on my website, jimfear138.blogspot.com. And you can find, the audiobooks that I've done. The Catherine Kimbridge Chronicles are the ones that I still get royalties off of. So if you would buy those, that would be helping me out. Also, there are two books that I've done by Aaron Clary, Enjoy the Decline and Reconnaissance Man, which are very good books. I had a lot of fun recording them, and I don't get royalties off of them, but you should still go buy them anyway because there's a lot of good information in those books, and you get to hear my voice read them to you, if that's a plus for you. I don't really know why that would be a plus, but hey, you know, if you like it, go for it. But yeah, there's Aaron Clary over at captaincapitalism.blogspot.com. He has a lot of good information. Recently, he put up a video about how to make money as a blogger, podcaster, YouTuber. And there's a lot of really good information in that. So if you've got an hour, go watch that video and you will understand. So yeah, go check out Aaron's stuff. He's a good guy, gave me some work, and he pimps me on his podcast every week. So I owe him. So yeah, go check out Aaron Clary. Let's see, what else? I have a Bandcamp where you can find some old narrations that I've done. I don't have anything like current up there, so beware. Audio quality is not the best, but they're up there if you want them. I have some stuff that's never been released before, some stuff that's not on my YouTube channel that you can find over there for a very reasonable price. Let's see, what else? Oh, I'm going to be putting a PayPal link on the blog. So if you would like to drop some shekels in the hat, then you'll be able to do that as soon as I figure out how to get a PayPal link up and running. I'm also going to be looking into an Audible affiliate program. That's the word for it. An Audible affiliate program, where I will be recommending audiobooks to you guys that you can find on Audible, and you'll be able to click on the link on my blog. But that's not up right now, so we'll hold off on that, but it is coming. So, I think that's about it. Just look out for the stuff that I'm putting out in the future. You know, when the Dimension Bucket stuff comes out, I'll release a post on the blog about it. You know, I'll release a YouTube video, all of that good stuff. So, keep an eye out for all of that coming. You should also all go listen to, Geek Gab. You know, the episode that I did is up on their channel, but it's a really good podcast, you know, despite the fact that they had me on. And yeah, I think that's about it. So if I forgot anything, then I'm sorry, but I'm going to go ahead and cut it here. So thanks very much for listening, everybody. I really do appreciate it. Go check out the stuff on the blog. Go read the new blog post. Let me know what you think. And I will catch y'all next week. Peace out, everybody.